Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
There are spiritual natural laws of the universe that help us understand spiritual healing and conduct it in a beautiful fashion. On today's Wednesdays with Willa podcast, I'll be sharing those tips and techniques with you because I have a wonderful special guest. Barbara Sanson is on our show today. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Willa and everyone. Nice to be with you all.
Barbara has been a frequent visitor over the years. This is year 5 of Wednesdays with Willa, and she's a fantastic resource for understanding spiritual healing. Barbara Sanson is a registered Lilydale medium and also the former chairperson of the Lilydale Healing Temple for almost 30 years. So this woman has seen it all and done it all when it comes to spiritual healing, and we're so grateful for her knowledge and expertise that she brings to the table every time she speaks and every time she teaches. So this is very much a teaching show. It's an opportunity every week for me to have usually a special guest on the show that we have a spiritual conversation relating to either spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. It's an opportunity for you as the viewer to engage with us and learn about spiritualism, but also the facets of the soul. And today actually marks part 3 of this particular series. We started it that was in 2020 that we started this series. We did part 1, part 2. You can find those archive videos of spiritual natural laws of the universe in regard to spiritual healing. You can find all of that on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. So I encourage you to look back at the archive videos of when Barbara's been a guest on the show and the other great guests. People tell me that they love to binge watch the shows and that they learn so much from them, and it's a resource for all of you. You can also find them on my YouTube channel, and this goes out live on blogtalkradio.com/lilydaleradio. There are other shows that are part of the Lilydale Radio family, and it happens throughout the week, so I encourage you to tune into those as you are able. So going forward with today's episode, Spiritual Healing and the Spiritual Natural Laws of the Universe, Part 3, I hope that you really embrace what Barbara has to share with us today. These tips, techniques of understanding energy is so important. So let's take it away. Part 3, Barbara, here we go.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, my friend Willa. It's great to be able to help other people with some inspiration and maybe some new ideas for them, and maybe prompting old ideas to be reactivated in a very positive and healing way, all of those. I love to talk about how the laws of the universe, which transcend religion, which transcend diversity, if you will, which transcend, I would say, people's attitudes, judgments, they are the laws that apply to the way that we operate or walk our path, if you will. And, of course, some of us have lived through the experience of some of those laws, I'm sure. In fact, most of them. And yet, I don't think we totally understand that always until we get to a certain point in life where something speaks to us, be it love or any other emotion, and it speaks to us and it kind of stops us and it goes, well, you know, I've got to figure out what's going on. I've got to sit and listen. Most of our wisdom is learned in the silence of life. Thank you, God. And so I encourage you, amongst anything else in your habitual routine of your day, to take the time to be silent for a while even if it's 5 minutes a day. If it's a little more than that, that's great. But I think people today and what's happening in our world are really longing for connections that are deep and meaningful. And one of the greatest connections you are ever, ever going to have is to yourself, to the spirit of life that lives in you as you, but also to that which is the soul consciousness and love. And I'm not talking about just our relationship to others. I'm talking about the divine essence that has caused in beauty you to be walking on the earth plane. People love to call it God. I think God is a lovely word. However, it's so much bigger because people imply that God is a tangible thing, an energy that is captured or utilized, where God is the fulfillment of you in your life. And so truly, folks, one of the things that I go in depth about, not here, but go in depth about, you cannot get any more God than you already have. Isn't that wonderful? So you already have that essence, but how are we using it? How are we using the awareness of it? How are we walking through our perception of reality in a godly consciousness? Has a lot to do with how we grow as human beings. So I think one of the, and I've talked about this before, but I want to recapture it because to me this is one of the most important laws of the universe is the golden rule, if you will. And it's interpreted in many different Bible forms. It's talked about in religion, talked about in reality, that it is the foundational spiritual law of the that that desires to seek knowledge and expansion of awareness. You know, basically to say, let me sum this up in very easy to understand words. Do unto others as you also would have done unto you. That would be the basic premise of the golden rule or the spiritual law. Well, when we are full of love and follow the laws of the universe, such as the law of balance, where all actions, if they are balanced or equal, cause relationships and healing to naturally progress, to naturally unfold without any intrusion of any negative emotion. The law of continuity, resulting that there is no separation from one state to another. It transcends and goes in from one state to the next state to the next state. Yes, you may recognize that there are things that happen. Let's say colors of the rainbow, okay, are different, but it is the energy of light that is producing the reaction of the color. And so, yes, we have all of those colors that live in us. We don't go around looking for it and me saying to Willa, oh, Willa, let's see now. I see violet around. Well, violet. Today, Willa has a gorgeous violet scarf that emanates her energy. It's so conducive, so harmonious to her that it radiates from her. And a lot of people will do that. They'll light up, you know, when they see a loved one or a friend or something that they endear very much. And so they will begin to have this magnificent reflection, if you will, of the light that lives inside of them. Some of us see that as color, and some of us only see it as kind of like, you know, the energy of a light bulb. If you put a light bulb behind Willa and it was all light, you'd say, oh, wow, there's her aura. Well, or I can see it right through the camera hook, but not everybody can. Not that that's right, and you are wrong. It's not what I'm saying. Some people are much more able to see in another state, remember, the law of continuity, be able to see in another state, then they can actually totally centered 100% in the physical state. And that's why many of us teachers and mediums do encourage others to take time to be quiet, to focus on some meditation or loving prayer that you might have, and to let yourself, let's say, I would say reassemble, you know, like a computer, renew the vitality of who we are. And, you know, folks, a lot of people do that, and a lot of people, I pray, you would pass the message on, ladies and gentlemen, that you would also encourage them to do that, because it's sensitive time. It's time of uncertainty around ever more reason for us to understand some of natural law so that we can begin to recognize what we need to do in the midst of the storm, in the midst of some frustration, that we can stay balanced and centered and go forward. So today, I'm going to talk about the laws that seem most apparent to us, but I may deviate off that for a moment and talk about some of the laws that you go, oh, I've never heard of that one. When I started learning about all this years ago, I never heard of some of these. But they do qualify through the laws of physics or science, that there is a sense of relationship about energy, vibration, harmony, and so on. Willa, did you want to say something? Okay, I wasn't sure you were looking, and I thought, well, maybe you had something to add. Okay, I'm going to go on. Natural law concept, that the universe is governed by cosmic laws on which beautiful humans base our reasoning and the moral sense of what is right or wrong. Some of us need to go back to kindergarten and start all over with this law, okay? But I think as mature adults, most of us understand what that means. We do find, though, in our society, and again, I'm not classifying any race, religion, none of that, but people are so absolutely plugged in to making instantaneous judgments, and they don't even realize they've done it. And I think that's one of the big things, too, through love, through the law of love or harmony, if you will, that we have to learn not to react always because someone's clothing fits the same as ours, because someone speaks a different language or has an accent, or someone might look like they slept on the street, or so on and so forth. I think our consciousness is so very quick to make assumptions. And, you know, the other thing that God does is many times comes right along and says, you have made a misfire. You have made a mistake. You have made an error in your perception. And let me speak to you. And that often comes in our quiet moments. So the belief that certain laws of morality are inherited by human nature, reason or religious belief, and that they are ethically binding to humanity. This came back from the Magna Carta with King John way back at the end of the 12th century. And so philosophy that is based on the idea that rights are universal concepts. True. What constitutes right or wrong are the same for everyone. True. morality. True. But is it always understood? Is it always studied? Is it always looked at carefully in the concept of our lives? No. No. I think we as human beings make rational, quick decisions and judgments where in this 21st century, with what has already occurred in the 22 years of this century, take your time. Don't jump to conclusions. Though your innate first gut reaction may be the answer, take your time to review it and to be sure that the path you are about to take or the action you are about to make is totally congruent with the mind, the body, and the spirit, and the soul of you. And that takes a little permission, you know? And we are not good at giving ourselves permission to do everything. But I'm telling you, as one of the elders, God, I never thought of the elder of Lilydale, beloved. As one of the elders of Lilydale, I would say, I've learned that just like you've learned how to drive the car and how to do things. I've learned that too. So that's my first part of that. Okay, so let me go on. Natural law is even in America's legal system. It is centered on the belief that everything in life has a purpose. And our main human purpose is to strive to live a life that is good, honorable, or good, if you will, and happy or fulfilling. And some of this, of course, is translatable. That's why we have the Supreme Court, not with them. But what I'm saying is some of this is talkable, discussing the attributes of these statements. And interpreting, absolutely, absolutely. So natural rights do not change over time. They are consistent. They are the same. The right to life, if you will, in our Bill of Rights, Constitution, the right to life, the right to liberty. And I love the word pursuit because to happiness. Some people find the sense, oh, I am happy today. This is fulfilling, and it leads me to happiness. And other people, I say, yep, look at them. They're on the pursuit to happiness. Because, you know, people find it very difficult to be satisfied in life, you see? Yeah. And that is going back to natural law, again, in the very beginning, and the start of the golden rule, you know, do unto others as we also would have it done unto you. So it starts with you. It doesn't start with the others. So that particular clause of the golden rule implies we should be loving and kind to others, yes, as we are loving and kind to ourselves. And we understand that in society, that is a sometimes very difficult thing for people not to pass judgment on themselves, but to love themselves. I don't mean just love yourself with an ice cream sundae, though that's one of the ways I love myself. No, I also have a sense of humor, lady. So. But as we learn to find flow of the energy that exists in the universe, and the energy that is connected to what we call the God source, that it also lives and breathes in the physical realm of our soul, and it is part of who we are. I say to people, wake up, folks, embrace that. It is a free gift of life and life eternal. And so, to love ourselves can be one of the greatest challenges we have to walk through. And I know as a minister It has been my privilege many, many, many times, and I'm sure Willa will agree, as a medium and a minister, that to help others identify or recognize the magnificence of who they are. Mm-hmm. Some people, it takes a lifetime, folks. It takes them going to eternal life to understand that. But I would pray and affirm in love that each and every one of us can recognize that and manifest that through the actions, the deeds, and the words of our human life to ourselves and to one another. Because what's going to change the world is power exuded in love, not power exuded in guns and bombs. The power included in love. And the better that civilization, the human race, can understand that, and I don't mean we have to walk around on our knees and be holy, 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 but as we respect the attributes of natural law, then we are much better at comprehension and respect of ourselves and one another. Okay, go on. Any thoughts, Wilma, or are you good with all of that?
I'm definitely good with what you're saying. I think that the laws of the universe definitely show up in various aspects of life, and they help to remind us that our purpose is to stay in the moment with the soul. And it happens, as you said, at the framework of the American government system. You can see it, how the Founding Fathers really put those thoughts and intention into the framework of our country. Yes, it's beautiful.
Yes, and I think we don't know enough about them. I think in our history lessons in school, things are skipped over, deleted, but very unfairly. For not that they were perfect people, but they strove to make this a place of honor and truth to live in. And so because of that, I think they are greatly respected people that we don't really know all that much about. I want to talk for a moment about our human love and how we feel. You know, it's wonderful. It is wonderful when someone comes in to our life that either becomes a new friend or becomes a closer loved one to us in relationship with our family. We know how we feel when we are around those people, or when we look at a beautiful sunset, or we see our children doing something magnificent, or being kind to people or one another, or picking up the litter in the front. You know, random acts of kindness are examples of love. But I want to read from a book called The Rays of Dawn, a small paragraph that is kind of embracing and kind of awakening to us as humans about love. And he says very simply, when our love is confined only to certain individuals or groups, when it is colored by our tastes, opinions, prejudices, when it is restricted by customs, beliefs, social status, nationality, then we are indulging in a counterfeit love. And I think we've been trained in counterfeiting by the media, by history, by things that have happened. I'm not saying that we are living counterfeit love today. I am not saying, I don't want to confuse you. What I'm saying is when we listen and make judgments very quickly about things such as taste, opinion, customs, belief, social status, and so on, we are denying the opportunity of love to flow to us, number one, and also to have it come back to us, number two. And number three, to do any good in the environment, to the earth, or the actions of the earth. And so we classify and segregate people according to our life and dislike. That's gone on for centuries. And we do live in a duality on this earth plane, where there is yang and where there is yang. So we show kindness and consideration to our inmates, our intimates, our friends, but to strangers, we are often cold and indifferent. I don't think that's happening so much in the 21st century, but in the past, I think that happens a lot. We're taught to love our country, our religion, our way of thinking and living, while those who differ from us in nationality or religious training, in customs and points of view, become the victim of the same considered inverse shame on those people. Mm. All I can say, that think that way, okay? But it has happened when you look at the progress of the last 300 or 400 years in history. It has happened. Let us be sure that as citizens of the 21st century, to our children, our family, and to ourselves, that we take the time to understand the love that works through us. And again, it's not the human form at this moment that I'm speaking, but the love that works through us and the love that we have in effectiveness and effectiveness around us. We are the walking example of that love. And what has happened in the past, I would pray that we would overcome, like some of the great philosophers, people who speak. I would pray we would overcome it.
Well, I think we are overcoming it. That law of progress, right? The spiritual natural law of progress is occurring, and I think in that progression of the soul, there's a group soul that is connected to all of that. And there is definitely a consciousness shift that's occurred.
Absolutely, Willa. Absolutely. That's what I am excited about, that people in today, in the 21st century, when you look at the young people, the classes, the opportunities, the things that they do, when you look at the young people in college, there are many of them so connected to wanting to help others, wanting to do things. And I think that's wonderful. And then I think about the grandmothers and grandfathers, the elders like myself who are out there, who I know have wonderful things to say about what they've learned in the journey of their life. And they can give that to their families and legacy and keep the law of love perpetuating and growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a beautiful thing. And teaching them about the goodness of life, and how the nature, how earth, how one another can interact. We are not separate from people, so they may look different. We are all the same. And in the makeup of who we are, each living person has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe so do animals. But each living person has a soul, and how we can let love fill that and keep us moving forward in positive ways. Okay, so I've talked about that.
The law of progress, and then how it relates to spiritual healing. More and more people understand about healing concepts, the whole world starts to shift in their consciousness as well. So I think that shows up in those particular ways.
I do too, Willa. Willa and I are totally on the page with so many things that we believe. I like to hear her rendition because mine's more a little advanced into the realms of, let's say, age. Now, I don't mean that I feel old. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about I speak in an older dialogue, and Willa speaks for people of her generation, and I love it because it's helpful for both of us. So let me just go on and say, as two opposing forces cannot flow from the soul at the same time.
Well, that's interesting because that kind of goes in accordance with the law of polarity.
Right, right.
Yes.
So if you are, folks, if you are interested in doing spiritual healing, learning the techniques, and being part of a healing team or just learning because it's of interest, and or you are already doing spiritual healing, if you are in a church or an association that practices hands-on or the absence flow, two opposing forces of energy cannot occupy the soul at the same time. Love is the opposite of hatred and is contrary to the law of opposites. Therefore, Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those that hate you. And what he was trying to make us realize is if we consume our soul with the negativity, the hatred, the dark energy of something that is negative or feeling very bad to us, we are not only absorbing it ourselves, we are pushing it forward outside of us to those around us. And that will, of course, relay in polarities many things where like attracts like, and so on and so forth, which are other laws of the universe. When we love our enemies and release them in prayer from the burden of their negativity, such as, I invoke the white light of love and purity around those who are disdained and filled with negativity for the greater good of love being integrated into their mind, body, and spirit. And I thank you for that blessing. You are putting forth a radiance of release of them of negativity. And perhaps people have never done that before, but I want to tell you folks, when you send a loving thought to those who really need it the most, you'd be really surprised what happens. And I think right now in our country, the people of Europe who are in tumultuous conflict, I think they need the white light of love and purity around them many times a day, many times a day. So the emotion of love is an electromagnetic manifestation from the brain, which is stronger than that of hatred. It overcomes hate. It is bigger than hate. It is more powerful. So make choices that are good for you in the journey of your life. Love yourself as you have been birthed and created out of love and universe. You want to call it God? Great. Come on. Do it. But I personally have evolved to a bigger concept of what the godliness of life is. But we've all come from it. And so true love expresses itself in the growth and the development of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and through divine love, we become conscious of a tremendous power that lives in us. I don't mean we're going to jump off a cliff. I don't mean we're going to become senators, okay? I don't mean we're going to win a casino big, you know, grand. But people go off. And they think these things when they're not following the rest of the laws, okay? So, again, you know, through divine love, we become conscious of the tremendous power that is not only us, but is given in the birthright to all humans and the earth and the energy around you. You know, when you walk into a beautiful place, be it your backyard at sunset, be it a church or a sacred setting, be it an art gallery or just picking your children up from school, when they open that door and you look at them, you know, there's a tremendous amount of love that flows out from us to other spaces and places. As we begin to love all life as an expression of the divine, we find it easier to perform our daily tasks and to meet life's challenges. Let me tell you, I absolutely know that firsthand. I absolutely do. And I'm sure Willa does also and her family, because she has the most beautiful, beautiful family. And so they are not having to think about it. They live it as the knowing of themselves. And lots of other families do. It's not just Willa's family or my family. It is people are yearning, hungry, embracing, coming together because they need not only to express that within themselves, they are looking to seek it in others of like-mindedness. And that's going to move mountains. I didn't say it was going to happen next month, but it is going to move mountains. It will overcome the hatred and the negativity that lurks around. Our world is changing, folks, and I believe it has started with the golden rule and the law of now and the law of harm, and it's beginning to evidence itself. So I'd like to go on to a few other things if I could.
Absolutely. We definitely have time to explore more of these things, and I think it's good that you're bringing in some of these different laws so people can understand how it shapes not just energetically a viewpoint, but energetic connections that we have with other people. And this is something that applies not just to spiritual healers, those who are pursuing the education and fine-tuning of their spiritual healing abilities, but also for people, just the layperson that wants to understand how to bring healing into themselves, into their lives, and into their circle of people and influence. So this is applicable to many people. Let's go for more.
One of the things we can equate, you know, I bet there's not one single person out there who has never worried about something. I am sure every single one of us who is listening, viewing today, understands what it might feel like to worry about something or be worried over a situation or a person. And again, that worry holds back the radiance of the energy of, I would say, divine love, higher love, godly love within us, that lives not only for the immediate family that we endear around us, but it is projected in our life. And by that I mean, we have the choice in freedom, and that's another law of the universe. We have a choice of how we choose to think mentally, speak physically, act emotionally, and radiate spiritually. We have a choice. And so one of the most beautiful qualities of love is the faith it creates, not just in God, okay, the divine, not just there, but in the faith and the purpose and the possibility of each human life. You see, you have to think in some ways beyond just the divine consuming me and filling me. No, there's more to love than that, folks. Much, much, much more. It's about kindness. It's about compassion. It's about the law of harmony and being in the flow of of things. Sometimes it is better to say nothing and thought a fool than to remove all doubt by speaking up. And Abraham Lincoln had a quote similar to that. But it's very, very true. When things don't consolidate, harmonize, go into a flow with you, rather than speaking up and contaminating whatever thoughts may be, sometimes it is better to let it go by. And not absorb it yourself, because the minute you open your mouth, you are absorbing some of that negativity yourself.
I think that's a very important, I actually think that's a very important point, because when we have an aggressive emotional response about something, it can cement the karmic entanglement further. So I often say if you're in that moment and you know that as you're talking, you're making it worse, that is your cue to cease and desist, even if it's mid-sentence, so that you don't compound this and actually send them farther on the spectrum, because it's almost like you have that fulcrum point.
Yes.
And they start to go, oh, really? You're going to go over there? Oh, I'm going to go over there. Kind of thing. So we want to try to get it a little bit closer to the center if we can.
It is better to offer a solution in harmony. I don't mean all, you know, ice cream and candy bars. It is better to offer a proposal, a solution, a compromise, a willingness to be open-minded to possibility than it is to get up and present an argumentative response to something. Because as we know, just look at Congress, there's I've watched things on television, the Senate. I watch that sometimes, and I think, oh, dear Lord, at least they have rules of polite. They do, and they get cut off at times. But, again, with our families, with our friends, I think more good from your existence is emanated through the vibration of harmony, balance, wisdom, understanding, the law of truth, the law of attraction, the golden rule. More things are emanated through us that way, and we do more good than we really ever realize as we continue in the journey of life. And so what I do see and witness, Willa and folks, is a lot of people being much kinder to children and classes offered for children, and children of a young age learning things that were kept secretive or swept under the table, like these laws of the universe. For hundreds of years, they weren't talked about. If you did something wrong, you got a severe punishment, thinking that that punishment always fit the crime, not necessarily so. There needs to be elements of forgiveness from the individual and understanding the journey of life. And maybe they need a hand to help hold just in that moment of darkness, just for a little while, until they can regain their strength of the love that lives in them.
It seems like you're focusing a lot on the emotional side of healing
that people are perhaps needing
help with, that understanding of the emotional response and the quick reaction. And so I see that a bit as a theme in today's episode.
It definitely is. Yes. It's very evident. But also, ladies, if you worry. I mean, you know, there are people that get the crown, you know, for the thing of worry, the emotion of worry and negativity. If you stay there for a very, very long time without any enlightenment, without any opening, without any awareness, without allowing yourself to ingest a new thought, a new idea, that's why spiritual healing is so powerful. That's what I'm leading up to. Mm-hmm. if you stay there, chances are that there could be an illness that manifests in the physical body because of the stress that has been created in the physical body. Mm-hmm. Now, people come, okay, they come sit for spiritual healing, which I love the word healing, spiritual healing. Spiritual healing, first and foremost, is the attunement of the person receiving to that of their spiritual embodiment. First and foremost, because it is, if you will, in the layers of in the layers of energy around us, our spiritual body is usually vast. Not always. Some people have very marginal sense of that, but it is vast. And in our spiritual body, we can work as healers, doing work in the aura or hands-on as it be, depends on the situation in the 21st century here. But here we can work with that and help people allow themselves to awaken or let go or retrieve new parts of emotions and light and mind that can help empower them to think differently, to speak differently, to make a conscious choice to let go and let new things be there. That, to me, is the first aspect of spiritual healing. That is why very often in classes I have I encourage the healer to offer a prayer. Now, it doesn't have to be a chapter in a book. It can be 20 words, 30 words, or less, to the recipient that will help them, number one, trust the healer, number two, relax, number three, trust the divine or the godliness that has created them, and allow themselves to breathe in the new, breathe out the old, and receive the renewal of the spiritual energy of life. If they can do that first, I would say they are well on their way to receiving a true healing of consciousness, mind, body, spirit. Now, please understand, ladies and gentlemen, to some people who are very ill physically, it does not always mean that they are going to get rid of their illness or distress, but it may mean to them that they begin to feel the energy of a higher power, the power that's been trapped inside of them their whole life, and they begin to feel that there is something moving in love or good feelings within them, that they begin to understand, perhaps, what they have done or not done in their life to make it progress. And they begin to love their family, and they say, I want my family, will you call them? They all have a different chain of thought. They all come together, and they will allow themselves to be loved. I've seen it happen many, many times. I've also seen it not happen. So I'm not saying that every situation lines up that way. But we also, as members of life together, can do wonderful things to help one another. We truly can. So I go on and say, the life that is lived in accordance with the laws of the body, mind, and soul, and which embodies all other positive attributes, culminates in love. Love is the fruition of the purified nature state. It is. In harmony results from a conflict of elements governed by selfish, crude, and uncontrolled nature. When individuals unite, just like I talked about, through the blending of souls that are unselfish, self-possessed, and pure, the mental and physical organisms are subject and harmonized through love. That is why, you know, they say no man is an island. Indeed, we do all need each other. We do all flourish when the right elements, when the right set of laws are in operation. We do. We allow ourselves to be renewed, even if it is only briefly at the end of life. And if you look in religious history, that is part of why religious teachers, religious clergy would come and bless and help the body, help the soul.
Mm.
So we take it to a little bit different twist here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I not respect all that. I totally do. Please understand. But there are other ways also, and that is to work with people and understand that they can let go of what they held for 40 years if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
If we desire love, we must set up a polarity which will attract love.
Mm-hmm.
We must have the components of such as the law of, let's say, truth, the law of attraction, the law of prosperity, thought, association. They will all come in order. You don't have to know each and every one of them word for word. But if your soul and your heart are willing, in a spiritual healing, and we're going back to talking about being present to the spiritual healing, to the healer. If we go back to that, then we can encourage people by a gentle hand, a gentle look, gentle words. One of the things that I have always done myself, I'm not telling you that you have to do this, but it has helped in the progression of the work that I have helped others learn and do. When there has been an energy transference or opening to the receiver, I have always said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I may go all over the whole body, whether I touch them or just work in their aura. And if I feel that transference, which usually occurs 99%, I would say very gently, very quietly, out loud, auditorily, so the person receiving recognizes and realizes that there is a transference of love happening for them now. By saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. It may be two or three times that I say that. I come to the front of them and I look at them with love and I ask them if they will accept this healing that has been for them this day from the light and the hierarchy of all consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I call it God, that's fine, but I want them also, as they receive a healing, to understand that that God is part of their life, part of their journey. It walks with them.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't separate. We don't have to supplicate an offering other than the will of doing right, if you can, to the godliness of life. It is a anthem. So then a prayer, and people go. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are doing spiritual healing, it might take two or three healings. before a person really, really begins to understand that. It doesn't happen right away. To some people it does. So, you know, be patient. Our role as healers is to be loving, respectful, patient, and positive about everything that's happening. Not, oh, I'm going to pull some negativity out of you today. Oh, my God, I'd run and hide because I wouldn't know where it was going to land. That would scare me to death. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Our words, in love, from love, are very, very important what we say to one another.
Right. You don't want to be too dramatic.
That's right.
If you're
too dramatic, people get naturally closed down, defensive, pull in, suck in a breath, and go, I don't know about this. That is not our role. Our role is healing.
And so it's a gentle experience of gratitude. And I love that you were saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Because it's a reminder for the spiritual healer doing the work, knowing that that is coming from the divine, but also it's a reminder to the person receiving that they have to take part in that gratitude.
Absolutely. So I say to people, will you, and this is our question that I speak to them in love. I don't, and it's very quiet, very, very quiet with them. Will you accept this healing that you have been given today? Oh, yes. Will you take it with you and allow it to continue to manifest in love and healing? You see how important those words are?
It's
like they get out of the chair, boom, bang, movie's over, done. No. A healing, if they have truly opened their heart and soul to the business of life and the divine, will continue to work through them for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I am not talking about the manifestation of a physical body part. But it can be a physical part. What I'm referring to specifically in this conversation is the element of spiritual consciousness awakening for the greater good of the recipient, to take it with them and to be able to use that memory. It's not about me. They haven't got it. No. Not at all. It's not about the healer. It is the healer's respectful training and appropriateness, that is the empowerment for the healing. That is a blessing. But it's, oh, you healed me. And I often say, I am so glad that you received a healing. That is marvelous. But remember, my dear woman, the God within you.
90 seconds.
Source of the transcendence of that energy for your healing.
Yes.
I just attended and helped as I could. So when individuals unite under the perfect working of the law, and this is the law of love, love seals the union with a bond that endures not only during earth life, through eternity. I'm going to say that again because, you know, it's the last sentence in this book called The Rays of Dawn. And I believe one of the most powerful sentences you will ever hear. I'm going to repeat it. When individuals unite under the perfect law of